A man who shielded his wife and their 9-year-old granddaughter with his body. They were shopping at Walmart for school supplies. A 15-year-old boy, he played soccer at school. A married couple, parents of a 2-month-old baby boy, Jordan and Andre Anchando. Javier Amir Rodriguez, David Johnson. They are all among the 22 people killed in the El Paso shooting last weekend. Fernando Garcia leads the Border Network for Human Rights in El Paso.
I think we are in a transition moment from mourning our victims, our families. I mean, this has impacted the soul, the spirit of our community, to now asking questions, essentially why this happened. And I think the answers to those questions are becoming more terrible and even worse than the incident itself, because we had now the realization that this was the result of extreme hate rhetoric and anti-immigrant feelings. And so people is not only sad, but also they are outraged and upset.
I mean, obviously, you've got to ask those questions, but is it hard right now to do that, to pivot, especially after such a horrific tragedy?
It is hard. I mean, I cannot say that it is easy. We all know somebody that either was there and were attacked or was injured or unfortunately died. So I think it is difficult. But at the same time, we need to call it what it is. What we are reflecting on is the intersection of two evils, guns and white supremacy. And whatever solution we had, it has to actually deal with that immediately.
The past 72 hours, just in terms of what the community there has needed, I mean, what kinds of services and supports are people seeking out?
You know, there's been several community reactions and actions. Obviously, people is flooding the blood banks. People is doing services and vigils. But let me tell you one thing. I think it is important. That day, that Saturday, that afternoon, when I was getting ready and preparing for press conference next day, I was in my home and my 14-year-old came to me out of the blue in the midst of those things that I was doing. And he looked at me very sad and he told me that he was afraid. I mean, this is a U.S. citizen that lives with a human rights organizer telling his father that he was afraid.
What did you say to him? I mean, do you even feel equipped to answer that?
I just couldn't say anything, honestly. I just hug and embrace him and kiss him. But I think my reflection at that moment, right after, is that if this is the case of my son, I mean, what is the case with many families, especially immigrant families? Now there's a new level of fear that, like, the hate and the racist rhetoric also can kill people.
I mean, there was a fear prior of immigration enforcement and now a fear of people with guns. Are you finding people who are actually changing their daily routines?
You know, that day, the day of the event and the day after the event, we received some calls, and especially through social media, of people that was impacted by the shooting there at the Walmart. They were concerned about the presence of Border Patrol near hospitals and clinics, and they didn't want to go to us for help.
Your group, a Border Network for Human Rights, is helping to organize a nationwide vigil tomorrow. It's also a call to action against white supremacy. The hashtag is El Paso Firme. So as families and communities mourn the loss of loved ones, do you have any concerns about speaking out about white supremacy?
No, not at all. Not at all. I had concerns that the president is coming down to El Paso to say that this was a mental health issue. But we're going to do a strong response to the visit. It's going to be peaceful. We're going to show El Paso's resilience and how proud we are of what we are.
Fernando Garcia, the founder and executive director of the Border Network for Human Rights, speaking with us from El Paso. Fernando, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.